Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Thank you today for you. I'm so grateful for every single one of you that's listening to this show today. You really are the reason why I do this. I've said it over and over again on air, so it's not anything new, but doing this show really is kind of like my guilty pleasure, and I love being able to reach out to talk with you, to share the struggles and the victories that people that I've come in contact with. I feel so blessed to be surrounded by so many amazing people in my life, whether it be folks like Dr. Joy, who, if you haven't heard his radio interview, oh my gosh, not a plug for me, but a plug for Dr. Joy. It's like a January of 2015 interview, but it's so amazing. Dr. Joy's been my mentor since I was in third grade. He's written 40 some plus odd books and thousands of articles as a seminary professor. And he just shared simply how to be able to really find your writing voice. And you know, my good friend Ernie Villanueva, who brought in some amazing, incredible motivation, and Tom Moline, who talked to us about technology and some of the things that scare us in technology and how we can really get beyond it. And then, you know, in more recent history, I guess it's been more than a year ago now, but I got a chance at a conference actually to sit down with Matthew Knowles and talk about the DNA of an achiever. In fact, I remember way back, going back to my very first show, speaking with my good friend Jessica Butts, as she shared some just really amazing kind of things about how you can really shine as the person that you are. And I'm so grateful for every single one of you and every single episode, all the way to the last best-selling author that I shared with you right up until now. There's another thing that I'm really grateful for, and that's our sponsor. Currently, we're being sponsored by VTech. VTech has a four-line small business phone system. This thing is freaking amazing. There are so many things I could say about it. Some of them, you're going to see the techno geek come out in me because I'm going to talk about phone trees and the ability to forward things. But let's try to make it really simple. Imagine a person calling your office and being able to get that, press 1 for the sales department, press 2 for customer service, press 3 for administration. Imagine being able to do that at whatever level your business is at. Now imagine if that was as easy to set up as it is to plug in a lamp. Because usually the problem with phone systems is, you got to call in the phone guy and have him do all kinds of new wiring in your office or in your home or those kind of things. I know that we live in a wireless world these days, and you can get, a couple line wireless phones. But the features that come with this phone take your business to a whole new level. You can have up to 10 extensions. That means you can have 10 different offices, 10 different phones in different rooms, whatever, that people can pick up an answer and they can have their own extension, their own voicemail, all of those kind of things set up for you to be the small business that is effectively and impactfully reaching its market. So I really do encourage you to check out the VTech 4-line small business phone system. I'm grateful for them as a sponsor. And as I said before, I'm really grateful for you. I am so glad to have you here with us. I'm so glad for each and every guest that has been on. And I'm so glad for the upcoming guests that we have some amazing stories that are coming up that I know of that are in the queue. In a couple of months, we're going to actually have Derek Redman on the show. Some of you may remember Derek Redman's amazing a story from the 1992 Summer Olympics. And next week, we're going to have Stuart Ross, who's an amazing motivational speaker, but beyond that, a business coach that helps people up-level their business. And so Stuart's going to sit down with us and share some really simple tips that people who have massive growth in their company, every single one of them put to work every day to be impactful and successful. So that's just some of the things that are upcoming that I'm grateful for. Beyond that, we have the best group of amazing best-selling authors that we have available to share with you. We have a community, really, you know, calling it a Facebook community is not fair, because it's really a family. It's fun for me to get to see the members of the group meet each other in person, because it's like a family reunion. You know how it is, and I'm talking about a good family reunion. Some of us have memories from our childhood of, you know, going to those family reunions with all those weird aunts and uncles. I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the good one, you know, where you go and you get to see friends or relatives that you really miss and you're so glad to see, and you can give each other great big hugs and just be grateful to get to be in each other's presence. And that's what it's like first time they meet each other, because they've known each other, their family. In our group, the Bestsellers Guild, you know, you can check it out, bestsellersguild.com. It's free. I know that 80% of you listening want to write a book. Why do I know that? Well, because Harvard did a research study and they found that 80% of the people in the world want to write a book. But here's what I also know. I know that only 5% of those people ever actually do. One last thing that I know, though, and that's that I know that you have a message that is important to share with the world. You've got to get it out there and really make the impact. And so that's what we really want to help you do. And I bring these authors to you because their books are amazing. Absolutely. And we've got a couple of just mind-blowingly great books we're going to share with you today. But I also bring them to you to inspire you that you have a voice, you have a message, you have a purpose. There's a reason why you're here. It's bigger than just you. I was actually talking to a good friend of mine. His name is Craig Phillips. Craig and I have known each other for years. In fact, for a while, Craig lived in my garage. In fact, when Kathy and I first got married, Craig was living in my garage, and Maya, who's now 18, back then she was just before she turned three, she called him the man, because he was the man in the garage. That's who Craig was. And we just had a conversation just today, actually, and he was talking about the new thing, the exciting stuff that's happening in his life, and I was able to encourage him, Craig, you know, just share who you are, where you are with the people, and let people, and I love this example, he actually used it. It's kind of like going to the grocery store. You know, the grocery store puts in every single food item they can possibly get on the shelves, and it's your job to go through and put into your cart the things you need today. So I encouraged him, put it out there and let the people drive their cart down the aisles and select the things that they need from what you're going through today. And I really encourage that to you too, to really take the stuff that you're going through today and share it with the world. Put it out there so that the rest of the world can be encouraged, can be inspired, that the world can be a better place because it's intended to be, because you're in it. You are here for a purpose, for a reason. The world so needs you to be the best version of yourself. If each of us just goes about the business of being the best us we can possibly be, this world will be a better place. And that's what we need. There are hard times for some people, and there are good times for some people right now. No matter where you're at, the one thing that can always be in your control is your ability to share with one another, to lift each other up, and to really help each other be the best them that they can be. And you do that by simply showing up in the world and being the best version of yourself in the world. That doesn't sound too hard, does it? I hope that encourages and inspires you. Again, I want to say thank you to every single one of you that are listening. Don't go away, because we've got some amazing books today to help you with both your life and your business to live a better life, to push through difficult things that are happening in your life, as well as to really learn what actions and even sometimes what inactions are necessary for you to have the success that you're looking for in life. So we're ready to start sharing these authors with you. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. Are you ready to dive deep with more of our best-selling authors and find ways that you can be successful? Find ways that you can succeed in your life, in your business, in all that you do. You know, success is out there for you. It's not just a dream. It's not just something that is for other people. There is a destiny, a success that is meant for you. It is something that absolutely you can have, you were meant to have. And it's waiting for you to dive in with both feet. So be ready, because success is looking for you. Now the question is, are you ready, willing, able, and looking for the success that is yours, that's coming your way? If you're ready for it, then have we got some information to help you out today. Today's first book is about something that I hope all of you want to know how to do effectively without being lazy. And yet, maybe. The book is called Being Successful While Laying on the Couch. Really? Okay, and so to talk to us about that, I want to introduce you to Wisdom Primus. Wisdom is the author of this book. And just join me in welcoming him here to the show. Hi, Wisdom. How are you today?
I'm fine. How about yourself, Steve?
I'm doing good, thanks. So, being successful while laying on the couch. First of all, before we get deeply into the book, tell us a little bit about you, because I know you're not a lay on the couch kind of a, you know, play video games all day kind of a guy. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so my name is Wisdom Primus. I lived in Europe for a little over 15 years. I was born and bred in Togo in West Africa with a French background. So far I speak 7 different languages. I moved to the U.S. back in 2006 and went through the whole process. And presently, I'm working in a financial institution. And at the same time, my passion is is to serve people and bring, help them bring the best out of them and focus on achieving their goals and be the best that they want to be or they can be.
So being successful while laying on the couch, really, I mean, tell me what inspired that.
What inspires this book is the fact that most of the time we all have dreams, we all have visions, we all have things that we want to achieve. But at some point in our life, the situations, the hardship, the problem, the procrastination, and let's call it a spade laziness, all those factors hold us into one spot where it clouds our view to keep on going toward our goals. We sit down, we dream a lot. We think about when we see a house, we want to live in that house. When we see a car, we want to drive that car. When we see a type of clothes, we want to wear that type of clothes. But we refrain from going after what will lead us to achieving those goals. So being successful while laying on the couch here is not necessarily a couch that is in the house where people sit on it and watch TV, but the couch is anything that we want to achieve, yet we did not push ourselves hard enough to go after that dream and go after that goal.
So is it safe to say that in order to be successful, there needs to be some kind of action?
Results occur with action and inaction. But now it depends on what type of action, what type of result you're looking for. If you're looking for any type of result that comes to you, you can be inactive and a result will come, but is that really the result you're looking for? And when we want to achieve a goal, when we want to reach a goal, there is always an action to take. Just like Tony Robbins said, we have to take determined and massive action to reach our goal. Definitely. There is no goal without action.
So is there a inaction, though? I heard you say something about that just a second ago. So is there some inaction that's also involved, though, in successfulness?
The inaction would bring a result, definitely. If I decide not to do anything and I sit on my couch, yes, I will accomplish something. But is it what I want to accomplish? I may accomplish become an expert into flipping on the channels. I may accomplish becoming an expert into sitting down and dreaming all day and talking all day. But is it, what is the result? What is the end goal? What is the purpose behind it? Whereas when I know what I want, when I know the vision and the goals that I have, that I've been able to define, and I take action toward that goal, it makes it easier. If I sit in my car and I turn the car on and I just think about going to Chicago, I don't think my car would just drive me there. But when I press on that gas and I fill that tank and I go, then I'll reach that destination. It will happen that sometimes there will be construction on the road. It has not deterred me from going to Chicago or from going to my destination. I'm saying this because, see, the goal is not going to bring you the end game immediately, but you have to take some action. You have to make a movement toward that which you want to achieve. And through all this process, from the point A to point B, you become a different person. And that makes you the successful person you want to be. And as you achieve one goal, you go toward another goal. And definitely, the action will take you to the result.
So I see here in the subtitle issue, if you will, of the book, is achieving what you want in life. And I think sometimes people really struggle with that. You know, what is it that I really want in life? How would you reply to that? How does a person really determine what they really want in life?
Absolutely. In everything that we want to do, the major question that I always ask myself is, why do I want to do it? What am I when I take me as a human being? What am I? What do I want to become? And why do I want to become that person? And I start writing things down based on whatever come across my mind. And I look at it and I say, well, what I can do, or what can I do that comes easily to me? That process helps target step by step what the person want to become. And ask them the question, why do I want to become that person? Why do I want to reach this goal? It is easy to find the how behind it. So from there, we have to become unreasonable, because there is no goal that you can achieve through too much calculation, too many thinking. You figure, you find the objective, you ask yourself, what do I want to become tomorrow? What do I need to become that person? And why do I want to become that person? The how will follow. And throughout that process, this book is going to take you step by step to how you can identify the goal, why you want to achieve that goal, and what you're going to do and how you're going to reach that goal.
Now, I know when we started out the interview, there were some people that were hoping that they could find a secret to success without having to have to ever leave the couch. why is it that we work so hard at not working, if you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of my my motto is, don't work hard, work smart, and use each and every resource that is around you to go at whatever you want. We put so much energy into what we want to become, what we want to be, without taking the action. From the moment you take the action, it becomes smart. The universe is going to make things, is going to make resources available to you to get to the level, or to get to the goal that you want to achieve. When I take an instance of a gentleman that I come across every day, when I drive by the crossroad, he's over there asking money. And one day I just stop and I went to him. Hey, sir, I just want to say hi. How's life going? And what he said to me that day amazed me. He says, are you the person I've been praying for? Are you the person that I've been asking the universe to bring forth? I told him, I don't know. I invited him to a caribou coffee. We had some coffee, and I asked him, what comes easily to you? He says, I can paint the world. The bridge you see over there has life in it. This cup I'm holding in my hand, I can paint it. I can give them life. I took him to the store. We bought about $50 worth of painting material. We came back to Caribou Coffee. He painted a bridge in such an amazing way. Right there, he sold that painting for $120. Today, he is selling his painting at the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota. All that from where he projected to the universe to bring someone to assist him, it was because he was open to do that. Then I happened to respond to the call. And today, he has a family. He has a wife. He has two beautiful daughters. And every day whenever I go to the mall, I'm always excited to go and say hi to him. I'm saying this to bring you to the point where we want to have things done. But once we take the first step, the universe responds to us, because the universe is alive. And it will take you through that process, and progressively, through patience, consistency, and some choices, and building a personality based on integrity and authenticity, the goal comes, or the process becomes so easy, where you don't work hard, you don't waste time into thinking about or working hard at thinking about what you want to become, than taking just one action that will take you, that will put you on the right path to your destination. So for me, it's not always about working hard at thinking, working hard at practicing, but it's just working smart at taking one action, and the rest will follow.
So there are so many good tips in this book, and people are going to need to get it on Amazon in order to be able to get all of the tips. But to leave them with something they could take action on right now after having heard this interview, what is something that a person could do to really begin to experience and head towards success in their life?
Absolutely. Look at five areas in your life. Your social life. Are you where you want to be? Do you have the things that you're looking forward to having? Your financial life. Are you where you want to be financially? Health-wise, do you want to lose weight? Are you at the level where you want to lose weight? And look at two areas in your life and ask yourself, why aren't I taking action? What are the areas where I need to take action? And instead of taking the time thinking about the same thing, let's say you want to have friends who can bring something to you. You want to lose this 10 pounds. There is a gym next to you. But what you're eating is not in accordance to where you want to get to. It takes one thing. Shift it. Shift that paradigm. Shift that habit. Turn into a different direction. And if you do not always get up and go to the gym, get up now. Put your shoes on. Go to the gym. Even if you're going to spend 5 minutes over there, you started making that step toward. You have shifted the paradigm of sitting down and now going to the gym. That movement, that shift in your position. Maybe you come home and you sit in a certain way in your couch. Shift it. Go sit on a chair and start feeling the pressure of making a move toward that which you want to achieve. What I'm going to tell you is very simple. Change your way of thinking. Think different, you get different results. Think better, you have better results. Ask questions and you position yourself in a way that changes your environment, changes you, and it makes you uncomfortable. Then you know something is about to happen. And don't look back, because the future is ahead of you. There's nothing called backward future. We always talk about the future. And before we reach that future, we have to be in the now moment. So if you shift your paradigm now and start taking action toward whatever you want to achieve, you'll create the vibration and you have that possibility to create nothing, to create that opportunity. If I give you a slate and I draw a few things on that board, you will not have any space to put anything on it. But if I give you a clean slate, you have the possibility. You can create the possibility of whomever or whoever you want to become in your today and project it to tomorrow. And then also one thing I would like to leave you with is this. Stop listening to your story. We have on the left-hand side the story. We have on the right-hand side the fact. Why do we focus on the story? We come out with so many excuses, so many stories to support the reason why we don't want to do something. Leave the story where it belongs and move with the fact. Hold on to the fact. Otherwise, some people carry their story like a backpack. And wherever they go, the story is with them. And they stay still. They stay in the same position. Then they start complaining, accusing the government, accusing the parent, accusing the dog, accusing the cat, even accusing the tree for not making a decision. So, hey, get up, change your paradigm, and be uncomfortable, and above all, be unreasonable into whatever you want to do.
Wisdom, I really appreciate you sharing your book with us, Being Successful While Laying on the Couch. Really? It's by Wisdom Primus. I encourage everybody to get it today at Amazon.com. Wisdom, thanks for being here with us today.
It's my pleasure, Stephen. Thank you so much.
Success is yours. It's there for you. You might even say that success is stalking you. But the important part, and I love what Wisdom brought out in this book, because success isn't something that's going to invade you in such a way that whether you like it or not, you're going to have it. You can't just be napping on the couch and wake up and find that you've moved to the penthouse. Success is about action and about knowing when to take inaction. There are times when it is very useful, very important for you to relax, for you to do what a pastor friend of mine used to call, to creatively loaf, to take those times to allow the creativity in you
to come out from within you, that you, so that you have the ability to go to the next level, to discover that new thing, to have that new creative spark in your life. However, you can't just stay there in dreamer mode, if you will. Joseph was a dreamer, but he had to, in the end, take action and help the entire country of Egypt save up so that everyone could be safe during the years of famine. And that's important for you too. It's about taking action on the right things so that you are fulfilling your purpose and you are doing your best to live out your purpose in this world. We're going to take a commercial break and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, VTech, with their four-line small business phone system. This is an amazing device that's going to grow with your company as you grow. Because as a thriving entrepreneur, you're going to grow in your life, but also in your business. So maybe you start off, maybe it is just you in the company, or maybe you have you and your assistant, and both of you are working really hard. And then the company grows, and maybe next you're going to bring on a customer service person, or a salesperson, or somebody to do marketing on a full or part-time basis for your company. It's as easy to add them in and have them onto the phone system to have a phone on their desk as moving their desk in and setting the phone down on their desk. Easier than plugging in the light, the lamp on their desk. So much easier than hooking up their computer. They will be on the phone system. You can add them to the voicemail boxes and all those different kind of things. But you also, because it's a four-line system, that means that you can have four phone numbers calling in to your company. So you don't have to be limited by just one number coming in, or, you know, like a lot of those handheld wireless phones, they'll let you do even maybe two lines. But with this, you can have four incoming separate different phone numbers and be able to take all of those calls and have them routed through your phone system. So yeah, you know, I mean, starting off with a cell phone is a lot of the thing that people do as small businesses when they start, but this really takes you up the next notch to being that hardcore professional sounding, professional acting, and truly professional small business that I know all of us want to be. So I encourage you to check out the VTech 4-line small business phone system. You know, there is a disease that all of us know about, but most of us avoid. This disease is called diabetes. And although type 1 is something you're born with, type 2 is something that you acquire through lifestyle things, through having body issues that cause you to have to succumb to diabetes later on in life. And although it's something that's very known by people, it's also one of those things that often is definitely swept under the rug and isn't talked about. And especially there isn't a whole lot of help. Outside of just going to your doctor and the medical help, there isn't a lot of people out there that can help you be able to get the help you need to really truly deal with the overwhelm and the care of your type 2 diabetes. So this next best-selling book is one that's so powerful and so impactful because more than likely somebody in yourself or your immediate family or your close friends has this, and you can begin to learn some skills to deal with a situation that runs, well, really rampant in our society and yet may be one of the most least talked about. How's that for English? Most least talked about things. You know, people either really manage it well or they really completely avoid it well, seems to be what I've noticed for people. But it is really something that you need to push through. And so to talk about that, we're actually going to talk about our next best-selling book called Push Through by Carmela Bell. Hi, Carmela. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for asking. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, so the book is called Push Through, 7 Steps to Help You Through Diabetes Overwhelm. Explain to people why it is that this is so near and dear to your heart.
It's near and dear to my heart because I never knew what diabetes was all about. Yet I had aunts and friends and relatives who were in my space every day, and I didn't know what I was witnessing, that these things were very detrimental. I didn't know how to help them, and neither did they. And it wasn't until my son was diagnosed with type 1 that we were thrust into this diabetes life and having to figure out how to manage and maintain and survive it, that I start understanding more about it. And the more I learned about diabetes, the more I started talking to my type 2 relatives, the more I start to find out just how much they didn't know. It's like, as a type 1 parent, I was being taught to be a junior endocrinologist. I mean, we learned so much so quickly, had a lot of people at our resources, you know, at our fingertips to help us. But what I was learning is the type 2 people, as I was interviewing them every time I would meet them, they knew the complete opposite of what I was learning. And this book came about because I realized that we want them to do well. We tell them to eat well and live well, but a lot of them just really don't know what to do. And it just made me mad, honestly. It made me mad to know that we have so many people going blind and losing limbs when they were never truly equipped to succeed in their diabetes management to begin with. So I just felt like I wanted to at least get a message out to them and let them know that there was, that they can live, that they can have a better way of life, that they can not have to worry about all these terrible things that can happen if they would do a few simple things. And simple is relative, but a few things to change it.
And simple is relative, but a lot of them are really, truly just simple, not just relatively speaking, but really, you know, I mean, it's so many little teeny tiny needlepoint moves that can help a person.
Right.
I remember actually when you and I were doing the writing interview for the book, and you know, you added your flavor into it afterwards. But that first initial interview, I remember actually listening, and I reached over, you know, because I'm type 2. I'm on the very, very low end, blessed end of the scale, really. But
yeah.
But I remember reaching over actually, and I tested my blood sugar. While you were talking, I was like, okay, tapping on the shoulder.
Right. I'm telling you, it's crazy because you're not the only one who has said that. Like, each time I'm talking to friends or different people, you know, we're just talking about that. Like, how's your book going? How are things going? And I get to talking about this. And a friend of mine just said on Sunday, she was like, you know what? Based on this conversation, you have inspired me that before I go to the gym, I'm going to test my blood and I'm going to take me some snacks. Well, Thank you. All right. This is what I'm talking about. So it's a really, it's an interesting topic. And it's just validating that people, even if some people do have the information and they're doing reasonably well, one thing that I have found is a lot of them need a lot of encouragement. They need a lot of kudos. They need a good push to let them know that they're doing a great job and just to keep going further. And that's one thing that a lot of type twos and type ones don't hear a lot of. They don't get a lot of, you're doing great. You know, wow, this is so hard. You're so strong. They don't get a lot of affirming words. So that's one thing that I have tried to do, and they just light up. And it gives them the push that they need to just keep doing the right stuff. So it's interesting that you said it, because she just was like, okay, we're just having this talk, and now I'm thinking of three things I need to do. So this is great. This is what I wanted to have happen.
Well, and I love it, and I really am looking forward to hearing you as you share more and more with the world, because it really is what people need. I remember growing up as a kid, I have an uncle who was a type 1 and was about as out of control as a person can get. You know, like,
wow.
Would only ever deal with his diabetes when he got hospitalized from all of the candy he had eaten. You know, and that was the only medical treatment he had for his diabetes.
Right, exactly. And that's crazy. And that's kind of, I'm glad you mentioned even the hospital, because that's one thing that I found when I'm interviewing my type 2 friends, is that a lot of times they kind of get desensitized and they just get used to the revolving door of the ER. You know, oh, I'll just go in, they'll basically recalibrate me, I'll get back on track, and it'll be okay. No. We have to stop accepting the diabetes status quo. You know, we have to stop accepting that okay is good enough, that even though I know it's not the best, I'm not doing all the right things, I'm doing good enough. You know, we have to stop accepting the status quo and really start, you know, getting real with the obstacles that are truly standing in our way. Sometimes it's not just food and carbs and counting, it's really mindset. So I'm, you know, being that I'm a trained in therapy and that's near and dear to my heart, mindset is a big deal. And dealing with my son each day and all of his emotions, you know, related to diabetes and what he goes through, it just helped me to see, wait a minute, we're spending a lot of time on, you know, going to the endocrinologist and going to the get these meds and all these supplies, but who's dealing with these emotions? Because most people don't go to therapy for their day-to-day life, let alone go because they're having a tough time with diabetes. So because of all the work I've done with my son, that inspired me also to try to support diabetics, because I'm like, who's helping them? I know other therapists are out there will help them if they show up, but who's actually coming for them? Who's coming to let them know, I'm out here for you, I'm looking for you, and I want to help you? And I didn't see it, so I thought I would just start it.
I love that approach so much, too, because, you know, it really is one of those things that doesn't get talked about a lot. And then you throw in the medical side of things. And I know I had a conversation the other day, actually, with my dad. And over the course of, let's see, dad's probably like 77 now. So over the course of the 77 years of his life, he has been diagnosed and undiagnosed as type 2 like 15 different times.
Wow.
You know, and it really literally becomes, you know, the next doctor he goes to disagrees with the one that he was with before.
Right.
You know, it's like, if we can't get crazy doctors to agree, how are we going to get people to help them?
Exactly, because really, how can you start to treat him if everybody can't agree that he has diabetes? This is crazy. It's really crazy, but that even takes me to another thought that I have about, you know, being our own best advocates. You know, I believe it's just time to stop sitting on the sidelines, you know. It's time to stop being a spectator. It's time for, when we go into these doctor's appointments, we need to learn truly how to communicate with doctors, because what I'm finding, even from my own experience and from, again, talking to people, asking what their experience is like, we're not really being collaborators in the process with the doctors. We just listen to what they say. They say go to Walgreens or CVS and get that prescription. We get it. We take it or we don't take it. And that's it. You know, you go in, they tell you all this high-level stuff, a lot of stuff you don't understand. And sometimes maybe you do understand, but it goes in one ear, out the other. You don't ask any questions. You don't, you know, refute anything that doesn't make sense. You just sit there and go with the flow. And I really feel like, you know, it's time for us to stop being spectators. It's time for us to speak up and ask for what we need. You know, let them know, well, okay, I know you told me to test once a week. Some people are telling you they're being told to test once a week. How can you test once a week and know what's really going on with your blood sugar? I mean, to me, that just doesn't make sense. I don't feel like I need a medical degree to say that. It's crazy. You know, it's not, to me, it's not safe for any diabetic to wake up in the morning and go to sleep at night and not know what your blood sugar is. So testing once a week, especially when you're not one of those people who has, you know, 5.8 A1C. These people have high A1C, so we know they're not managing the best when you're only testing once a week. So my deal is, you know enough and feel confident enough to be able to go to that doctor and say, hey, I know that you only told me to test once a week, but I've been testing this many times a week, and this is the pattern that I'm seeing, and let's talk about it. And so I want to help people to feel empowered to have a good conversation with their doctors. And if they have a doctor who's not open to that, then maybe they need a new one.
Well, and, you know, you just reminded me of, and I don't remember which tracker it was, but I was using a weight loss, not really a weight loss tracker, but like a what food are you eating all day long kind of a tracker.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and I don't remember which one it was, but built into it was a, you know, what's your blood sugar, but it only had the ability for you to put one number in for the day. And it's like, you know, shouldn't at least it be like, you know, a couple, if not like maybe one after each meal or something like that, you know? And
right.
I don't know. It was just very weird. Made me think of
it
that.
It is weird. It is weird because that's how I feel when these people tell me, you know, that they're only testing once a week. Now, I know with the, you know, the way diabetics are being treated here in America, at least with the price of supplies, it's ridiculous. So I get that not everybody may be able to afford to test, you know, 5 or 6 times a day, but you definitely need more than one time a week. You know, I feel like there's a middle ground between once a week and maybe 2 or 3 times a day. So it's really important. And I've also, based on my suspicions and, you know, the information I'm getting back, I've been kind of testing or, you know, asking people, interviewing, okay, so you just got diagnosed. Did they tell you what your A1C was? No. Did they tell you how often to test your blood a day? No. Did they tell you maybe how many carbs to aim for as far as your meals? No. So basically you sent them home with a prescription and they don't even know what else to do, how to maintain or support their overall health. And this is why I want to basically be the go-between. You know, the doctors are our partners. They're very valuable in this process. But I want to help teach people how to have the right conversation, how to ask the right questions. So everybody I've been talking to, I've been sending them back. Go get these answers. So when you come back to me, then we can take that a little bit further and work with it some more. And we might come up with another set of questions. We'll go back to them with that. I had somebody who literally went back 3 times. But by the time the third time came, we knew everything we needed to know about what the instructions should be. We crafted a plan. I mean, it was great. But it just amazed me how little a lot of type 2 diabetics know. And it's not their fault because it's not just one person or two people. It's pretty rampant.
You know, one of the best pieces of advice I got, and it was actually from a nutritionist, it wasn't from one of my doctors, but she said, you know, think of it like as much like a game as you possibly can and test. And you're right. I mean, supplies can be crazy. So if you can't afford it, don't feel bad about this. But if you can, you know, test it just like randomly, you know, do one that is, you know, too soon after the quote unquote perfect time you're supposed to test it, you know, and do one in the morning when you get up and do one just before you go to bed, you know, and just, you know, test it randomly and see when, you know, because obviously if your number, if your A1C, if you know it, is high, it must be spiking at some point during the day. It didn't just do that, you know.
wasn't just like your blood got together and it's like, hey, here's a good practical joke.
Exactly. Just one time and now you have a 13A1C. It does not work like that. You're exactly right. And that's kind of where, you know, on my book, I say, you know, diabetes is a bully and pumps are snitches. And pumps are snitches because levels don't lie. You know, when we switched from using insulin pens and insulin bottles, we had the glucometer, you know, that keeps up with the number. And then, of course, you go do your three-month average and get your A1C tested. And that is going to tell you, you can lie to your doctor. Oh, yeah, I've only been eating vegetables this whole 3 months. I'm good. And then your A1C is inflated. They know. They may choose not to beat you over the head with it, but they know you're not telling the truth. You're doing something. And so when we switched over to the pump, oh, my gosh, it's like every little thing you do, it's on this little bitty list, and it's being recorded, and they can see it all. And it was funny because I wasn't trying to hide, but sometimes when you don't get it right, you kind of just don't want to be exposed, you know? And when I figured out kind of how the pump worked, I was like, oh, my gosh, it's just telling on me. Let me hurry up and figure out how to do this because I'm going to get it. And there's just no way to hide in diabetes. We can tell whatever stories we want to tell, but your numbers will not lie. Your blood, it does not lie. And for that reason, we need to, you know, take it for what it is. Use it as a tool to help guide the changes we need to make, you know, because the other half of that is a lot of us don't test because of the guilt. You know, when you know you haven't been doing the right thing, and you know as soon as I prick this finger and put it on that strip, I know it's going to give me something bad, I don't want to see it. So a lot of people are just avoiding it. And we've got to, I wanted to be a part of the solution in changing that. You know, don't let those numbers villainize you. You know, they're just numbers. They're just a guide. And sometimes maybe we do need to be chastised, you know, because we like things that we like. And if I know I overdid it with my triple chocolate on chocolate cake with 3 scoops of chocolate ice cream, okay, that was a lot. That was a bit much. So maybe my numbers do need to slap me around just a bit. But I don't have to internalize it and think I'm a bad person and then spend 2 weeks not testing my blood sugar because of it. Just correct and get back on track. And a lot of people are kind of getting stuck in some of the guilt process of, you know, dealing with these high numbers.
And I think that's probably the best piece of advice. Other than you got to get the book, Push Through, 7 Steps to Help You Through Diabetes Overwhelm. Just do a little something today. Forgive yourself for yesterday. And then do what you can do right now. Carmela, thanks so much for your book. I'm just so looking forward to it. People can get it at Amazon.com, and I really do hope they will. Thank you so much, and we look forward to hearing more about your adventure.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you taking the time to, you know, spread this message. It's really important to me, so thank you again.
Check out Carmela's book on Amazon. You'll be glad that you did. It'll help you. It'll help friends, people that you have in your life. We're going to take our last commercial break, and we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. We are at that place again where we've come down to the end of another amazing show. Two more great best-selling authors that have shared with you ways to help you live a better life and have a more thriving business. And at first blush, you might be like, well, hey, I don't know what diabetes has to do with success. But, you know, having success in your personal life is one of the primary things that you need in order to have success in your business life. Don't ever buy into the belief that you can abandon or abuse yourself and really truly be successful in your business as well. They really do go hand in hand together. That's absolutely one of the reasons why I wanted to make sure that these two came together this week, both for their launch, but also for the show, so that you understand that combination of life and business that comes together to create that really truly place of thriving. And I really do hope that you are thriving in your life and business. We want that for you all the time. Kathy and I are here to help you thrive in all that you do every day of your life to live as a thriving entrepreneur. You see, the thing that I know is you have a specific, unique purpose that only you can fulfill. If I was talking to two accountants sitting next to each other, side by side, they may both work in the field of accounting. They may both even be, for example, accountants who specialize in doing yearly taxes for people. There are a lot of people that that's what they do. They are specialists in taxes. And yet the two of them, their life, their experiences, the way that they tell their story is different because your voice, your life, your story is so incredibly important and so massively a part of the success that all of us need in our lives. It comes from all of us being together, sharing together our joys and our struggles so that we can all help one another thrive. That's more than anything. You know, bestsellersguild.com is a place where you can come in and talk about your bestseller, learn how to be a bestseller, all that kind of stuff. But what Kathy and I have said many times on the internet, and it's still true, is that what you think we do is help make people best-selling authors. And we do. We help people put their book out there. But what we really do is we help change agents change the world. We help world changers change our planet and make it a better place. And it's something we love doing. And that's why I want you to be part of Bestsellers Guild by going to bestsellersguild.com and joining our community today so that your voice can be heard, so that your desire, your impact, your change for this planet is out there, and it's making that impact that you were meant to make, more importantly, that only you can make, because there's no other you on this planet. There are people who have done amazing things throughout the course of history, but none of them has ever been or ever would have been possible to have been you. Because you are uniquely brilliant. You were created very specifically for a purpose. And the world does need you. The world's had some amazing people, but the world will never be fully complete without you sharing the amazingness that is you with us as well. A lot of times it's easy to buy into a message that says that my voice isn't unique, that what I have to share has already been said over and over again. But I want you to know that that message that's inside of you, no matter how many times you feel like you've heard it, you've never heard it before until you say it. Because you were meant for a purpose to be able to radically, dynamically change this world with your voice. It's what you were meant to do. Know that Kathy and I are here to help you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.